You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to Revelation and chapter 21. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Deal with us according to your grace, your time, your place, your honor, your glory. It's all about you, God. Help us understand. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking, and just to remind us, if I may, A, why do people go to church? Why do people go to church? They go to different things. They assemble for communism. And if you've ever seen the news, I'm sure you have more than I, maybe. No question. And you'd see the great groups of people, unless it's all made up, thousands of people. Thousands, I don't know. Marching thousands. Wow. Communism. If you go to Islam and it's Mecca, Medina, or something, and they're praying, and depending on where you're looking and who you're seeing, thousands just down. Boy, that's big. And go to football game, basketball game, or something, and it's cheers, thousands of people in the stands, etc. Groups of people, great groups of people. And all of them there, all groups. So why do people come to church? Why do they go to church? Well, many and varied reasons. And our attendance, many reasons, traditions. They come, they go. That's what they do. And we do it. And you want a suggestion on why the churches, our O-U-R, or my, M-Y, personal. Our church, my church. Why? Because without thinking about it, it's so obvious. People are there in church for many reasons. Some are good, some are bad, some are right, some are wrong. What's the basis of I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I go to church. Well, why do you go to church? Well, because I'm a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I'm a believer. Well, what does it mean to be a believer that makes you go to church? And that obvious answer is more than not hard to be found. It's a simple thing, but it isn't found. So people are here for many reasons. And they're going to grow, they're going to know to the reasons based on why they're here. Why are you here? Well, we can go here, we can go there. Sure you can. Go anywhere you want. At least so far. Now, so having said that little bit, so what I'm trying to go to remind myself of the very root, basic reason you go to church. Which more than not you guys, of course, but most don't have any sense. Let's see how it works out. Now, so in the light of that, here's all the assemblies. And if you were to go and take time at reading in Revelation chapter 3, 4, and 5, and the assembly, when here's heaven, jump up into eternity. And here's God's heaven. Wow. Angels by the myriads, thousands and thousands of angels. Wow. And everything. Holy, 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 said the seraphims. Wow. What do you think that assembly would be like? By the way, when I say that, I didn't mean to jump ahead. The word church is the word assembly. It's the assembled body of people assembly gathered together. For what reason? Assembled body of believers. Now, so when we say that, the church, the assembly, that's what it is, the assembly. Now, if you're going to go back, if we can, and here's the history that we have in God out working his most wonderful way. And so the churches are there. Now, the church, assembly, the assembled, hang on, it'll come, if it isn't, it'll come a little clearer maybe. The assembly. So the Israel is the assembly, assembled is a nation that assembled before God. And Israel in the wilderness had a tabernacle, a tent, showing the Lord Jesus Christ who would be born in Bethlehem, that tent, covered flesh, covered skin, and tent. And so the tent was there, and it was smack dab in the middle, three tribes of Israel on each side. And so every day and night, God was smack dab in the middle of them. Right in the middle of them. That was God's place. That's his chosen place. And when they ended up in the Jerusalem and they took the land, God had a wonderful plan to put a temple in Jerusalem. And that was an awesome place. Solomon built the temple and the glory, 1 Kings 8, the glory that filled the temple. God was in the middle of the nation of Israel. And God was blessing Israel so that if you looked at Israel from a material, worldly, visual, looked at it, it would be glorious. The buildings, the people, the mood, it was, wow, a little bit of heaven almost, even though there was great idolatry. Wow, what a setting. What a setting. Wow. And it would have been. But then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar and all of that, and they lost that setting. So in the process of that, so God, here's Revelation, I'm interested, so here's the church. Now before we get to that, I want you to know here's God in his holy heaven, everything's in order. God creates Adam and Eve and earth and all of that, and gets out of order. And so God raises up Israel to show what nations are supposed to do. They're supposed to worship God. Where are the politics? God is the governor. Where is the worship? God is to be worshiped. That's the nation. So Israel was to show that. They were assembled together to show that wonderful truth, God in the midst of Jerusalem in the temple, showing it. Now, I'm going to jump way into after heaven and earth, the new heavens and a new earth. God, how we know what you're going to, we know what your objective is to show it. And here's all of history outworking itself with the ultimate end to show it, to show in a glorious way what it's all about. So when the new heavens and a new earth are there, God, what kind of, in Jerusalem? The temple. The temple? Chapter 21, as you know, directly, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. Why? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, they are the temple. There is no more building. They're all in the center of God. They're in the center of God forever. God is the temple. God, hang on. Now, back to us. Here we are. You know in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, having said that, and what did they do with the birth of our Lord Jesus? They crucified him. That's what they did. God was there to be in the midst. And the Jews in the temple, God didn't fit in the temple. It was his temple, but they didn't fit in. They ousted him. They didn't want him in. And they rejected him. So they crucified him. Now, having crucified him, he's God. But they crucified him. Oh, that's what they did. Now, God, what about your plan? What about your holy assembly? What? Where is it? Where is it? Now, over if you would please to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew in chapter 12. And reminding you and myself. Now, God, what did you do? They crucified you. So they aren't interested in Jerusalem. In fact, Jerusalem, Titus in 70 AD is going to destroy Herod's temple. Gone. So they aren't interested. The world isn't interested. He came unto his own received him not. John 1:11. As many as received him. John 1:12. But, so God, what are you going to do? The rank unbelief, Jew and Gentile. Now God, you died for all of us, all humans, from Adam to the end of millennium. Wow. Now God, you're going to be gracious. You're going to be merciful. So you're going to show you died for a sin of us all, for the sin each one of us, and you rose again. Therefore, God, but we don't want to believe. Empty tomb. The only ones that saw were the believers, over 500, etc. His resurrection. Chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. This is before his crucifixion. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the great fish's belly. Verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the hearts of the earth. God, you're only going to show the resurrection. Now, how are you going to show the resurrection? You're going to show the resurrection how? By way of you're going to show that how you're risen. You're going to show it how? You're going to be seated at the right hand of God in your perfect humanity. Now, God, you're going to show it. I am. Over to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And you will note, simple, I make as simple as I can so you don't get confusing, because we're talking about something awesome. And it's eternal. That's the trouble, you see. This isn't just a little blip. No, because how you understand and where you're headed there. Like it or not, ready or not, we're going there. Do you understand? No matter how you cut the cookie, you're going there. No matter. So now, 1 John chapter 5. And God, this is verse 11. I'm going to read verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, inside of himself. There's going to be a personal testimony of God. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because, why? He believeth not the record, the witness, that God gave his Son. This is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Okay, verse 8, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. So either you have the Son, you receive the John 1:12, as many as received him. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're saved. It's not hard, is it? If the Son of God, underline, not just believe, the Son of God is in your heart, underline. If that's true, you're saved. It's the way it is. Why so? Because it's so. And as long as your heart stops beating, or it keeps beating, I should say, aren't you alive? No, you're alive. Why? Because you feel your heart, you control your heart, not on your life. It just beats. That's why you're alive physically. Why are you alive spiritually? Because you have the Son. That's why you're alive. Otherwise, you're not alive. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and we know Acts 1:8 without turning there, we are to be his witnesses. We are saved by God. We are saved for God. And 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, minding ourselves. And you will please note again, I want you to, you're locking in. Lock in what it says. Why does something work? Because you follow the instructions and it works. Why does it work for you as a believer? Because you follow instructions. You follow the instructions and it works. It produces life. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what kind of he that hath the Son hath life? To what measure? Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, location, Christ in the whole glory, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. That's why in 1 Corinthians 10, you know, Jew, Gentile, but now the church of God, the assembly of God. Ah, that's a whole new thing. Wonderful. A whole new entity. That's what the believer is. The believer, it's an assembly, not like Israel, not like Israel, no. Not like in the millennium, nope. It's an assembly of God's, of believers, that are brethren, that are saved, that have the Son. What's the purpose? What's common up and down the rows? The Son. Either the Son is or he isn't. The Son. What makes us one? The Son. What are we here for? The Son. Verse 4. Hang on. Now, so we're new creatures, verse 17. New creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, guess how much of yesterday, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, everything about your life, dreams, future, all of that, that's called your old nature, and all of that's you. It's about you. What has God done with the old you, the person that you are apart from God? Old things are what? Are passed away. So how does God feel about your feelings and your fears and your life and your dreams and your aspirations? They're passed away. When did they pass away? When you got saved. God had another plan. That doesn't mean you aren't going to finish your eating the food in your refrigerator. That doesn't mean you aren't going to quit your job. That doesn't mean you don't have to go to school. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're going to be doing, but the doing that you're going to do now is due. The whole reason you're sitting on planet Earth still is for God's wonderful glory. It's a whole new world. You have the Son. You're saved. You go to work, you go to school, you go to the kitchen, you go to the bathroom, whatever you do. You're saved. A whole new person's walking in. Here's all the 7-something million people on Earth. But you're new. It's all different. So new creatures, old things have passed away, all things have become new. So it's all new. Okay. I can read that. I need to understand it. It's new. As far as God's concerned, you'll receive the Son, and when you receive the Son, you'll receive life. Now live the life. The life you now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20. I live by my wonderful relationship to Jesus Christ. Hang on. Again, you're hanging on. I hope you'll be tired of hanging on. Now, so in the here we are looking in God's wonderful grace. and we become a child of God, a son of God. Now, becoming a son of God, God does something wonderful. God is, remember, what's God, the only sign is going to show is what? His resurrection. How is he going to show his resurrection? He's going to show his resurrection by way, in grace, for his grace, in believers, by believers. Now hang on, over, if you would, please. To Ephesians, back over to where you were. You read this morning. And then Ephesians. And you would note, if you're saved, if you're a believer. And I'm going to pick up straightway. God has done something wonderful. He made us have a unique relationship to God. We ought to be, verse 12, to the praise of his glory, etc. And the end of verse 18, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Sliding down to verse 22, and God has going to show that. How are you going to show that? God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, the assembly. The assembly, the church. Remember, I started to say it, I never probably finished it. The reason you got all the churches, because all the people are doing what they do when they go to church. They think like they think, they go like they think. That's how they got it. That's why it's our church and the names up there. Why? Because it's ours. And I don't care how you cut the cookie, that's how it is. You'll see it in a second. I know you will. That's what we don't have his church. We've been saying that to you for a long time. His church. There's a whole difference between our churches and his. I'm reading about his. I'm trying to tell you people that go to his church. Our church, we go to all over the place. People can make this church our church, but it isn't our church. It's his church. And we've been saying it for 60 years almost. It's understand it. Wow. Now, having said that, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, the church, the assembled, is called what? His body. He's the head. For 1,000 times, you all have heads. You would be very, very out of it if you didn't have a head. Understand? Isn't your heartbeat, your shoulders, your hands, your feet? Isn't that wonderful? No. Without your head, it won't mean anything. You see? It won't mean anything without your head, will it? Your body is nothing. But my body. No, it isn't the body. It's the head that makes the body valuable. Verse 23, that's what God is, the fullness of that body. He's the fullness. We complete him. The head completes the body. The body completes the head. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. That's the body, the local body. Now hang on. Over, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians in the body, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians, the body. Now you all got your bodies, so I don't have to illustrate. You all got your own illustration. You all live in the body. And all the parts of the body are very functional. And apart from putting alien bodies in, you know, a heart from a monkey and something else, it's all your stuff. And all your stuff honors you. It has no interest. Your kidneys, your heart, has no interest in honoring my heart. It's totally, wonderfully committed to you. Your body, your pancreas, your spleen, all of these things are committed to you. They don't belong to anyone else. And they're all in harmony. Otherwise, you're in trouble. They all are connected, nervous system and that, to your head. And without your head, none of it means anything. So, God, what are we doing? Well, God has a body. How is he going to show his resurrection? He's going to show it by a body of believers that represent whom? Him. They represent him. They don't represent anything else. When you receive the Son, God gave you life. Where is your life? In the Son. What's it about your life? I have the Son. That's what makes me different than other people. I have the Son as my Savior. Wow. So the body is to show the Son. No. It's to show the Son. It's not, this is about, isn't about school. It isn't about other things. The church is the body to show the person of Jesus Christ, the Son, who's risen. No one wants to believe it. So God's going to show it. Hang on. Come on. Now, in the light of that, 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized, placed into, immersed into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, we're born to free and have all been made to drink into one. So there's only one. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Many members of the body. That's right. And how, when you got saved, what did God do? He saved you, the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He put you in whose body? In Christ's body. And you have a relationship to Christ, and you are going to show what? That relationship. Therefore, verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God placed you in a unique relationship to the person of Jesus Christ in a most awesome way. And that's for real. It has nothing to do with your feeling or anything. It's just an event that's for real. And you made it happen by believing. He that hath Son hath life. And that life were in a body. And the body were many members. Now members. Now, if I take my thing out and I had they were doing something like a cadaver or something, exploratory, and I'll put your pancreas here, and I'll put your liver over here, I'll put your heart over here, your something else over here, got it? Now, here's all the part. Now, are you impressed about yourself? What do you think? Wonderful. That's all you. No. All of those parts have to be here. They're members of one body. The parts out here are members of one body. And in order for the body to be functional, they all have to come together. They have to do that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here's all the believers, and the believers are to be assembled, gathered together in his name. And they gather together in his name, believers, and assemble, because they belong to the body. They are not the body. Your liver isn't the body. It's part of your body. The spleen is only part of your body. The believer over here is part of the body. The believer over here is part of the body. You're only part of the body. Understand? You belong to the whole, but in evidence to show it, you're a member, a part. The body pieces come together. That's what they do. And they come together to show God's wonderful, wonderful person, to show his marvelous name. And as they come, why do they go to church? Why do believers that understand, underline, go to church? Because they're believers in Christ Jesus, and they have the Son of God in their heart. Where is the Son of God? In the heart? Uh-huh. How does God show the Son of God? In the body. In the body. The members, why do we assemble together, God? Why did you say that on the first day of the week? Why do we do it? To show the body. You can't show the body out there. You have to show the body together. The believers belong together. That's what they do. To show whom? The Son. Why are they coming? Because the Son of God in them wants to go to church. Isn't that true? If you're saved and Christ is in you, does he want to assemble together with his body? I don't know, I'm going to ask you. Well, no, I'm going to feel. Forget the, we all did the hypocrites and all that. We got a whole bunch of us. That's why we got saved, because we're in such a terrible state. And we're saved. That's why we're here. That's why we're supposed to be here. It has nothing to do with whether I like you or you like me. I don't care what. Listen, if the liver belongs in the body, I don't care if the pancreas kicked me in the shins. I'm coming to the body anyway. You understand? I belong in a body. I can't play this game. And we do. And I'm telling you, you're disconnected. But I'm going to church. You can. You can go to church for 25 years and 25 hours. It isn't going to do a thing. I'm telling you now. You say, well. No, all you got to do is look at our world where we are right now. In the churches. Where are you going to find? It's hard to find. We're at the end of the age, Laodicea. What do you expect? Well, we're going to church. That's good, but boy, wouldn't it be good to get understanding? Why I go? Why do I go? Because Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that's where I belong. Why does God say in the book of Acts, etc., what do believers do? They get saved and go to church. Find the body of believers in Ephesus and Antioch. Find the believers, not find the church and the group and the social group and the family group and the friends. Baloney. I wouldn't waste my time with that. What a waste of time. You say, well, it's fun. I didn't say it wasn't fun and family. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not looking to be, I got saved. You got saved. We're supposed to be looking to God the Son. That's why we're here. That's why I come to church. Why do I go to prim all these things? Because he's the Savior. And where does Christ want to go? Come Sunday morning, whatever, make believe. Where's he? He's going to church. I'm going to go to church. That's what he does. He's going to church. But no, you don't. No. Is he boss or isn't he? Is he your life or isn't he? Isn't it supposed to be new creatures? Old things have passed away. Aren't you supposed to be new? My family, my friend, my marriage. Oh, forget that. If you get tied up in that, you lose. So therefore, and God seekers, yeah, they do come. People that are seeking God, they ought to come to church. That's where they should find God. God fearers, they should seek God. They should do so. And there's no question. No question about that. Now, so having God, here we are looking, and God in Christ in the heart, going to show his marvelous, marvelous grace. So believers are assembled, the parts, that's us, assembled together to show the whole. He's the head. Every local church is a unit in a given district. Remember, not 25 churches. Only one church in Jerusalem, only one in Antioch, only one in Corinth. That's all there is. There's not 25 of them. No, there isn't. 25 of our churches, there's 1,000 of our churches. When we were in Harrison, Arkansas, starting the Harrison Bible Church under the mission, when we did that, I had to go out and this is part of my assignment to do a survey. And I think there was, don't hold the figure, but I think Harrison, Arkansas at the time was 6,000 people. And I think there were 33 Baptist churches. I said, what am I doing? What on earth am I doing? He said, stop going and knocking on doors and you'll find out why we need a church. Start listening to people. and you'll see why we need a church. That's why we did. Now, so in the light of that, God's wonderful, wonderful grace, here's the body assembled together. All the parts come together. The reason they come together, because God is going to go to church. God in you is going to go to church. And it's not a game. It's not a fun time. It isn't meant to be. I belong in a body. The body has to be assembled to what? To show the head, Christ Jesus. Now, we all evidence the head in our lives, at work, at home, at play, at school. But when we come together, it's the body. The body, not the believer, but now the body of believers. They're showing the wonderful head. That's why I go to church. 1,000 times I'll say it. That's why you do it. If you don't do it, then you are motivated. The motivation is God is going to go where he has a wonderful plan, and his life is in where other believers are. They assemble together to do what they do. That's what they do. Well, no, we do it. Then we got all, that's why we got what we got going on anyway. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, the union and communion that comes when we come together as the body under the headship of Christ. So, 1 Corinthians, while you're still here, right nearby, chapter 14. Chapter 14. And you would recall, chapter 14, and I'm going to go to verse 23, a little context. If therefore the whole church, this is the church in Corinth, be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues and languages, and there come in those that are unlearned, or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad, crazy? You guys are crazy. What are you doing? If we're all weird, and I can tell you, going back 100 years ago again, I think of the Assembly of God back in the 50s and that, and people, you know, they walk down the aisle and fall down the aisle and roll off the pulpit, you know. And what would you think? I think these, I said, you're going to get hurt doing that. That's what I said. Wow. That's what I did. They're crazy. They're crazy people. Ah, if the assembly's crazy, it should be tagged as crazy. But the assembly isn't crazy. The assembly is a well-ordered group of believers under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Revelation 2:1, who walks, walking, present tense, who's walking up and down, as it were. Jesus Christ said, I am in the center of this assembly. Every time you meet, I'm right in the middle of you, right now. I said, I don't see it. Doesn't matter. He said, I'm right in the middle of my churches. I'm right in the middle of them. I'm walking up and down. I know your works. I know your works. I know what you do. I know what you think. That's why people get uncomfortable. I don't blame them. They get uncomfortable. What is it meant? Church isn't meant to make you comfortable. Church is to see your life changed, to enjoy a wonderful, remarkable thing, that God would take you and I, who are nothings. And if the people look, come in and look at, we're just us humans, frail, faulty, with all of our every ups and downs. But the difference is, Jesus Christ has mocked you, has mocked us as his own. So when they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ walking Jerusalem, they saw him, the man. He's just a man. Ah, but he's more than a man. The church is just a bunch of humans, frail, faulty humans, just like all of us. Ah, but they're different. They have life. And see, they're gathered together. What makes them one? God, the Son, who saves them. He makes them one. 1 Corinthians 14, let me keep going, verse 24. For if all prophesy, 24, and all come together one that believeth, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, in other words, people all come, church, building. He is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, clear, public, plain. So, falling down on his face, he will worship God. What did he get going to the building? He saw, found God. That's what he did. What are we doing? We represent the Son of God, the life of God, in the person of God, in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're nobodies. Ah. But as we understand that, that's why we go to church. That's why we think we don't have all the dumb things in our head and heart that we shared last time. You got to get past that and be resting. Call the abiding. I meant to do it. I meant to get a couple of branches for you. I just wanted to see a branch, you know. And the branches have to stay attached to the tree. And you know what? I was going to bring one with leaves. I looked out, the wind knocked all the leaves off that branch. But the branch is still there. And the snow and the freezing and all of it, and the branch is going to stay right there. And the wind's going to blow, and the branch is going to stay right there. John 15, 4 and 5. You must abide in me, and I will, and abide in me, and I will abide in you, as it were. The branch must abide in the vine. For without me, without that attachment, you can do nothing. Without the attachment, you can do nothing. But we're having church and sing and pray. I can do all of those things. It won't do any good. If I could give you the best exegesis of some passage, it won't do any good. You say, what does? Oh, come on. You've been around long enough. No, it won't. You go out and be the same. We have our plans and our dreams and our pizza. And we got it all. Nothing changes. That's so sad. You have to have God. You got to do. So, 1 Corinthians 14 and the in verse 25. Thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest clear Paul. And falling down on his face, worship God and report a big print. God is in you, the assembled body in Corinth, even though they got all the problems, bless their heart, that God is in you of a truth indeed. That's the conclusion of the person that came to church. They saw God in you. They didn't saw you had a great choir or you could sing or you gave a wonderful three-point illustration message. No, no. It was about God. That's why he's here. And if we don't honor him, we won't. Or we don't. Most people don't. They come in and out. They don't honor God. No, they don't. They aren't even conscious of God. That's why they can't remember the God's word. That's why they can't practice it. Because they didn't. How are you going to practice truth without the God of truth? How are you going to do it? You can't do it. So God, here we are, that God is in you of a truth. You know that in Galatians, without turning there, Galatians 1:24. What are they going to say about the Apostle Paul who got saved? That God was in him. Christ, God in Christ, in the heart. God is in them. They say that about you? Do they say that about you? God is in you. I don't know. I don't know, they say that about good, good. No, is God in you? Then show it. Abide. Don't say, I can't. The branch doesn't have to work at anything. God didn't ask you to work at it. He asked you to, by faith, believe and stay attached. And I'll work it out. And so we grow. We don't know everything. We can't fix everything. We don't. We just keep growing. And we keep learning. And we relearn and underlearn, and we get more and more and better, like we shared last time. And that's what happens. But we got to be abiding and got to be resting. Otherwise, we're busy fighting and fuming, trying to, you aren't going to fix anything. You can't even fix your own life. I can't think of the, so long ago, wrote the book, Norman Vincent Peale. Anyway, I know him. I knew him. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I sat down with him on the steps in Los Angeles, in the church, Methodist church. We sat down right now. Anyway, you don't care about all that. Anyway, well, You aren't going to fix it. You fix the balloon with all the bubbles on it, and you push this bubble in, and it pops out over here. And you push this in, I'll fix this in my life, and it pops out over here. So you don't fix anything. God changes it. How? He crucified it. He isn't going to play with it. We play with it. He isn't going to play with any of it. He's done with it. Behold, all things are passed away. Everything's become new. When? When you believed. But I'm working. God said, I'm finished with it. Then I got to start believing and enjoying the Son of God in my life in a most wonderful way. God has to help me. And so therefore, God, and by the way, make sure God is at the center. You know what a wheel is with all the spokes in your heart and abiding. God has to be at the center. He's the hub. He's the center of the wheel, I should say. He's the center. Most people have pharmacy, grocery store, kitchen, church, life experiences, fun time, fellowships, thing we do. And church is part of the spokes. Church isn't part of the spokes. God isn't a spoke to fit in when you need a doctor, you go. He isn't a spoke on the wheel. He's the center of the wheel. Everything in your life comes out of that. Of what? You're a son now. You're a new creature. And that's why you do what you do. And you can't get other people to do this unless they get saved, unless they want to understand. I'm telling you, they aren't going to do it. You can try to convince them, you've got to do this. No, they won't do it. Come on, you got to believe. And you'll change like that. You'll fix things just like that by believing. I believe. Wow. So God, here we are. So don't make church a spoke like school, marriage, everything. Everything's a spoke. The reason is the center. He's the Lord. He's the center. And everything comes from your relationship to God, the Son, as sons of God, family of God, the body expressing itself. That's what we're supposed to be all doing today. That's what we're doing. And if we understand it, then God will make all of this click in your head like that. And your life will change. All the wonderful truth. That's what, I don't want to get excited, but you understand? That's what's so wonderful about it. Because we're nothing. And yet, think of Sunday school, what we just did in Hebrews. Wow. God has crowned you with glory and honor. You don't see it, no. But heaven does. God does. God sees the wonderment of your heart before Him. And that's the most important thing of all, that God sees you. Huh? Wow. Yeah. So God, here we are. In the process, your words, your works, your ways, in my most wonderful way. Now, it's time, the time is gone. I wanted you to get to understand a branch has to abide. The body has to abide. The reason we do what we do is because Christ wants to do it in us. You don't have to ask Him to do it. That's what He wants. He wants His will for what? For your life. Christ in you wants His will for your life. Is He going to do it? That's why you're a son. In the son. That's why we're in church. God's going to do in our little lives, we're nobodies. We're flesh and blood just like the rest. But awesomely, we are different. We're saved. Huh? I think differently, I feel differently. See, no matter what work does, school, home, health, wealth, no matter what, I'm saved. God, for your honor and glory. That's why I'm in church. That's what we try to do. I'm not a preacher. I don't know what I am anyway. But I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help you understand what it means to be saved. And boy, I'm going to keep doing it as long as I got the strength to keep bugging you. I don't want to overdo it either, because I know I make so many mistakes and so many things, and I wish I knew more. But we're going to do the best I can. It's not our church, it's His church. And we are saved for His glory and honor. Now you know, in closing, over if you would please. A, 3 points. A, Hebrews 10:25. You'll have to turn there. Don't be forsaking the assembling of ourselves, what? Together, as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake yourselves. The whole context, Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake. That's the danger. You get caught up in the sin. And boy, we haven't even started this business. Where do you can't find peanut butter? What can I tell you? A staple. See? Wow. So God, over to and two places, bear with me. I'll do it very quickly. Psalm 103, just so you can do it at your leisure. Psalm 103. And you will notice, may I go directly, quickly, in verse 14. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's a human life seen from heaven. But see, heaven doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it that way. Flesh and blood, a flower, a piece of grass, a leaf on a tree, dust, vessels of dust. Closing. Over to First Corinthians. God, that's what we are. Wonderfully so. No, we don't mind being so. No, sir. Go on. We are dust. Absolutely. Dust we are and dust we will become. But 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, God, verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base, lowly things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen. Yea, and things which are not, what for? To bring to naught, to bring to nothing, things that are, that think they're so great and so wise. For, verse 29, no flesh shall glory in His presence. On the contrary, of God in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. God in the Son has taken the foolish things, and we raise our hand. We're one of them. And so would you. Foolish nothings to make you saints, sons, glory and honor. We're nothing. And that's why it's so awesome. Because that we're just ordinary. And yet this body is extraordinary in the light of God and heaven and angels. Huh? Our Father and God, we thank You. It's just us. So God, thank You for the patience, these dear people, and help us each one. We surely need it. God, we get so locked into stupid, dumb things, trying to make our life better and more something. when it already has become super, if we would but practice and enter into it in the assembly. Your assembly, God, it isn't ours, it isn't our church, it's nothing about us. It's totally about your wonderful person, Christ in us, thank you. The hope of glory, Father, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. Set apart all of it. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them. God, deal with us. Thank you. Help us, please. In Christ's name, amen.